everybody. Today we are going to talk about post-millennialism, not post-modernism. We're going to talk about eschatology. We're going to talk about the end, what direction the world is heading, and the gospel is heading, and the kingdom of God. So, I grew up very pre-mill, I guess you could say, believing in the rapture, 7-year tribulation, all those things. And basically, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket kind of mentality. A very apocalyptic view of just the world and America. But here's the thing. I think it's something that has been very popularized within the last couple hundred years. I definitely don't think this is something that was very prominent within the last 1,000 years, but there are way smarter men that'll give you way more details, but I'm just going to give you a flavor of what I've learned and what I believe to be true, as we should get our eschatology from scripture and not the news, not the headlines. And I think that's very easy to do nowadays, is to think that depending on, you know, what's happening in the news, well, that's going to dictate kind of how we interpret the Bible now, and so versus the other way around. And so, but I think we mislead a lot of people, and bad eschatology hurts people. You know, there's people that say, you know, we're not going to have any kids because the world is just going to get worse. Why would we want to bring them here? That's awful. When God gave us the mandate to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. So I think by having a bad eschatology, it's going to affect a lot of things. And people are like, well, does it really matter? We don't really know how the world's going to end and what's going to happen. But I do believe it does matter. And maybe it's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's one of those primary things that you need to know for salvation. No. But it's very important. I mean, all scripture is God-breathed. You know, useful for teaching, rebuking, training in righteousness, those things. And so we have to see that when scriptures talk about these things, that these are important. These aren't things that we just should just gloss over. So when we talk about, and I could get into all the different views, but there's, like I said, there's other men that have done that, and I think will be way better. I just want to give you a flavor of what I've learned and what I've seen in scripture. So when Jesus gave the Great Commission, going to all the nations, you know, baptizing and teaching, making disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, like, is that going to be completed? Like, will the Great Commission be fulfilled? So that's one question I'd have to, you know, I like to ask people. And then two, so we're looking at, like, is Jesus going to be victorious in the end? Absolutely. I think every Christian would say yes. But then what does that look like? Does it look like, oh, the world is just awful and we're barely going to make it out and there's just going to be a few people and a few Christians, and, you know, is that the picture that we see in scripture? And I don't think so. Now, we could go in so many different routes. Revelation, I believe that most of Revelation has already happened. If you think I'm crazy, well, there's a lot of many well-known theologians and Christians that believe that this is referring, the Revelation was referring to an event that actually happened in AD 70, the destruction of the temple. And you can actually look up accounts of what actually happened, and it was horrific. I mean, it's, you were living in that time. I mean, you would be thinking, this is it. This is the end. Awful things that Nero did. Anyway, so there's that whole side, but I want to kind of get a bigger picture. I mean, we could talk about all the little details in Revelation, but I would say, you know, the gospel that was preached to Abraham is like, in you all the nations, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So first you have a blessing that's going to extend to the nations. And this is happening on earth. And then you have in Isaiah, and I think there's another passage, I can't remember if it's Lamentations or Jeremiah, but basically saying that that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge, will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Like, that's going to happen. God's glory is going to fill this earth. Now, in a sense, yes, I do believe that, like, Isaiah 6, like, the whole earth is filled with God's glory, but I do think, in another sense, that it's going to be, it's full of His glory, but it's going to be covered, top to bottom, with more of God's glory. And I think when you look at the Great Commission, when you look at in the New Testament, it talks about that, like, before the end will come, that Jesus will put His enemies as a footstool for His feet. So, like, Christ's enemies need to be defeated and subdued. And when you look at the end, you also see every nation, tribe, tongue, language is going to be before the throne. Well, not every nation has been reached. Not every tongue has been reached with the gospel. And so I believe that we need to have the whole earth proclaim, you know, having the gospel proclaimed. And so there, and so that needs to happen. So, and when you look at even the things that Jesus said, you know, He talked about the kingdom of heaven being like a grain of, like a mustard seed that grows in this huge fruitful tree, or the kingdom of heaven is like a leaven in dough that just rises and gets bigger and bigger. Like, that's the kingdom. And what did even Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying that God's will be done here on earth as it's being done in heaven. And so we're not, I don't see in Scripture how we are just trying to escape this world. God made this world good. Like, He told man to inhabit it, be fruitful, subdue it, have dominion over it. And I believe that Jesus, when He returns, he's gonna come back, but we're gonna be reigning here. And we can get into details of why and what that looks like, but I don't see in Scripture that we're just supposed to try to escape our bodies when God made our bodies good, and how, like, we're like the resurrection. Like, the resurrection of Jesus changed everything, and now those who know Jesus will someday be resurrected to life with Him and be given new bodies. So this is a physical, this is a physical thing. So I'd say, I don't know, the more I look at scripture, the more I see just the victorious, extent in the conquering of the kingdom of just, going throughout the world and the nation streaming to Jesus and Jesus being victorious, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so his kingdom is on the move. It's advancing. And I'd say, you know, it's, you know, Daniel, it's, you know, his kingdom is everlasting. It's, there's no end. Like, and so when we say that, I mean, do we believe that? Or do we believe it's, we're, you know, in a losing battle? It's like, no. Now granted, yes, like, I think things are going to get probably more, difficult for Christians here in America. All in all, if you look at the trajectory of history, you know, if we look back 1,000 years, we'd say, okay, well, you know, how good are things in the world, and how is the God, where, you know, where's the gospel at, and the kingdom of God, like how far is it? You know, we'd say, well, here's where it's at. Well, if you, you know, jump ahead, you know, 250 years, another 500 years, 750 years, 1,000, you know, keep going ahead and look at the spread of the gospel, look at the spread of the kingdom of God. I mean, it is blowing up. And so rather than just looking at, you know, modern day current headlines, you can even look at the trajectory of history and where we're going. So even though things might seem bad, we might have a collapse in America, who knows, but I'd say we have so much hope and so much to look forward to. And even when persecution comes, like, that's how the church grows. Church grows immensely when there's persecution. And so, yeah, I believe, I have more of an optimistic view of how things are going to end. And this isn't me saying, well, you know, there's not going to be suffering, there's not going to be turmoil, there's not going to be persecution. No, I definitely think those things will be reality. But I think when we look at so much scripture, and I'll maybe have a part two of this or something, maybe we can hash out more things, but I definitely see that the gospel is victorious. Jesus is victorious. He is coming again. I think we as Christians can all agree on that. And maybe that's something that we just hold on to. But I think where the rub is some Christians have a pessimistic view of, you know, how things are going to go. And, but I don't think we see that in scripture. Do I see suffering and, men's persecution? Yeah, I definitely do. And I definitely think it was pretty awful back then. And I definitely think there's awful persecution right now. But if we look at the whole of the world too, I mean, we're, and the gospel is spreading, and it's, the thing is the kingdom is just going to keep growing. Like, you can't stop it. Jesus is going to complete, you know, Jesus is going to have what he commanded. Like, that's going to be fulfilled. Like, do we believe that? And so, maybe I leave it there. I'm trying to think of what else, you know, I could say, just to give you a flavor of postmillennialism. But I think all in all, it's I think you have to see a lot of symbolism in scripture. I think even when you read the New Testament, it's almost like a commentary in the Old Testament. So you have to, I think that's where the language gets really tricky. So being able to I mean, study through those things, work through those things. It takes time, it takes a lot of work, and but good news is Jesus is returning, the gospel is going forward, the kingdom is advancing. Jesus and his bride, the church, like, we will be victorious. Like, that's gonna be the end, and it's a happy ending. It's a eucatastrophe, I think, as Tolkien would say. Instead of a catastrophe, it's a eucatastrophe. So this is the world we live in, and we have so much hope, so much to look forward to, even though things might get difficult, worse, hard. Man, it's, you know, we might be in the early church right now. Like, and so I'll leave you with that and maybe talk about this another time. Thanks, guys.